Good afternoon, the April 1st, 2025 regular meeting of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission will now come to order. We're going to take a moment to say the Pledge of Allegiance, please. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, thank you. For staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating, our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with staff recommendation and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will then be followed by a presentation from the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allotted a time frame of no more than 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or the staff for clarification. Afterwards, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, members of the public that are in person must fill out a blue speaker card and please give it to staff. If you're participating virtually, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be less than or equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, for those participating online, it is important that you use the raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on a petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak on a topic, please still use the raise your hand feature or if in person, fill out the speaker card. You'll have the opportunity to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then address any additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. And the first item on the agenda is approval of the agenda.
Madam Chair, I think that to approve the agenda, we need to pull Highgate or bring Highgate back into the regular agenda. So Cole has made the motion to bring the 3400 Highgate Boulevard, item number four, into regular agenda, and it will follow the Old River Road item.
Follow Old River Road or come before it?
Follow.
Okay. And a motion?
That's the motion.
All right. The rest of the agenda?
We need a second on that.
Do I have a second?
Second. Plunk.
Okay. All in favor?
Voice aye. Vote? Aye.
Any opposed?
So Cole's motion to accept the agenda as amended.
Second?
Second, Plunk.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. We have Finance Committee meeting this morning, and no decisions were made on that. We did have a special call Personnel Committee meeting, and we did make a decision to award a bonus to the executive director. Can I have, let's see, I guess we need to go right on. Items requested to be removed from the agenda. Variance to the general development plan for 925 and 1303 East President Street. Is there anyone here to speak on that? All right. Next item was Master Plan Amendment for New Hampstead, 2100 and 2501 Little Neck Road. Is there anyone here to speak on that? All right, I'll entertain a motion.
Call this motion to remove items 3 and 5 from the final agenda.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Items requested to be withdrawn, there are none. Consent agenda, approval of the March 11th, 2025 MPC meeting minutes.
Call's motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. There's no old business, regular business. We have a flume amendment for 605 Old River Road.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the Planning Commission. This is Edward Morrow, Director of Development Services here at the MPC. If you do not mind, I would like to discuss the two Old River Road items concurrently. The first is a flume amendment, and the second is a rezoning. If you don't mind, again, I would like to discuss these concurrently. And at the end, I'll make sure that there is staff recommendation for both on that last slide. So the first petition is a flume amendment for this particular property from residential suburban single family to plan development specifically within the city of Savannah. The subject properties are currently within Chatham County. And this would also effectuate the potential for rezoning from residential agriculture and protected river corridor to plan development, again, within the city of Savannah. You can see an aerial image of the subject properties that are proposed. These two are actually part of the very same parcel. They're just discontiguous. Right. So in looking at the subject properties, we can see that the future land use is predominantly planned development. And so it's just this tiny portion here that this flume amendment is aimed at correcting. I believe that it is somewhere in the area of maybe 7 acres in total out of about 159 that are proposed for development. In the zoning, this is residential agriculture, which is a very low density residential use that includes some other non-residential uses that are, again, low intensity in nature typically. There's a small portion that is also planned river corridor, which is an overlay within Chatham County that is aimed at protecting the Ogeechee River. And so just to offer you some insight there, the purpose of the PRC in particular, if we jump to this paragraph, shall be to create areas within protected river corridors as defined by the Corridor River Protection Act in order to help preserve those qualities that make a river suitable as a habitat for wildlife, a site for recreation, and a source for clean drinking water. And again, this acts as an overlay within this district, specifically for that small portion of property. Just to give you some context that is significant about the site, we can see that we actually have four different jurisdictions here. We have Bryan County, we have Effingham County, we have the subject property, which is currently in unincorporated Chatham, that's that dark gray, and then we have the city of Savannah. It is also important to note that Fort Stewart is right here, approximately 0.8 miles from this site. Also, just to show you that this is within a special flood hazard area, AE specifically, and also we've got some wetlands that are present on the parcel proposed for development. This is in the 1% annual chance area, and the E indicates that a base flood elevation has been established, so that would indicate the minimum height at which a structure must be built. Also, there are special requirements as both city and county have adopted ordinances that are consistent with the National Flood Insurance Protection Program. So just to offer you sort of a brief overview of what is proposed, in terms of the future land use map designation, the character areas, this is proposed to be a suburban residential area. And so if we looked at Plan 2040, we can see that this is kind of consistent with your single family detached small garden apartment style developments, as well as some convenience commercial that we typically find in these areas. And so the uses that are proposed to be included within this PUD are consistent with the RMF2 district, the BL district, and the BN district. The RMF2 is a wide-ranging zoning district going all the way from single-family detached all the way up to apartments. All of these are uses that are more or less consistent with what we would expect in a suburban residential configuration. And then also limited business districts and neighborhood business are oriented toward relatively low intensity to provide convenience commercial needs in a suburban context. Something that I think is also important to note here, if we look right here, this is kind of a snippet in looking at some of the area that's just south of the subject parcels. These are flag lot developments, and so something that staff would like to highlight is that we will always support coordinated and cohesive development over what we refer to as flag lot development here. So what you're seeing are these long, narrow driveways that come off of a public right-of-way, and you can see how they are stacked. And so what happens here is that you get a bit of just inefficiency in terms of land use. You typically get issues with ownership and maintenance of those driveways. And generally speaking, you also don't really get community facilities that are thoughtfully developed in order to support the housing and other developments that are located here. So this is something that staff has identified as a priority in terms of supporting planned developments, generally speaking. We want to avoid development that is sort of incremental and haphazard in nature. So, all right. So to offer you a view of the proposed general development master plan here, you can see that there are principally two main use categories. We have a planned development commercial district that would feature some ground floor or other commercial uses and upper story residential potentially. And then also we have the RMF2 districts, PDRMF, which is residential multifamily. And so these are the areas where we would expect to see that variety of housing types distributed across here. We can see that there is one main entrance, it appears, here that aligns with Four Lakes Parkway, and I'm going to guess four other sort of minor access points that may be limited access right in, right out, something of that nature. And so the petitioner has also provided a preliminary development schedule that has been developed in correspondence with the city's engineering department to understand how it is that we should see this development unfold and what the delivery schedule would be over the lifespan of the PUD. Proposed on this approximately 159-acre site, again, is mixed-use residential and commercial. The DRI data estimated 716 AM peak trips and 915 PM peak trips based on anticipated maximums of 1,665 dwellings and a maximum of 50,000 square feet of commercial space. Again, these are maximums and not necessarily specific requests. At the point that right-of-way encroachment permits are sought, we are likely to also see the requirement for a traffic impact analysis. The 2050 STIP rates the Old River Road level of services C or better. We obviously still need much interjurisdictional coordination, however, to ensure that we're seeing our roadway improvements that are consistent to keep up with the pace of the development that is proposed here. The general master plan also does include some buffers, 8.7 acres of open space, and what is currently identified as 59.4 acres of aquatic resources, and this is principally wetlands. In looking at the DRI, the Ogeechee Riverkeeper raised some concerns that I felt it was notable to include in staff's assessment and for the board's understanding of how development should be approached in this particular area. Three of them, provision of a wetland plan identifying areas for fill and preservation, prohibition of clearing and grading of the site until all wetland-related permitting has been resolved, and then prohibition of any future on-site wastewater management treatment. And all of these things would be consistent with what we would see in the coastal supplement for stormwater management. This is also a great time to sort of highlight a couple of efforts that we have going on. We live in a coastal context. Development is not going to stop. And so we are then charged with ensuring that our standards, our regulations, they line up with the fact that we're in an environmentally sensitive context. And so these are two efforts that are ongoing right now that are looking at improvements to our current regulatory system, both stemming from coastal incentive grants. So the first one is actually a combined effort of Chatham County and the City of Savannah to look at integrating climate action into our current ordinances. And so they're looking at our current development standards and looking at how we incorporate sea level rise into our current development programming. The second one is tentative, but it's hopeful. This is actually a project that Anna is working on that we would love to see SLAM data that is used to understand marsh migration patterns so that we can better predict areas that are appropriate for development based on the fact that sea level rise is causing our marshes to migrate inward. So ultimately that means that we have less developable land or more land that is going to be imperiled because of climate change. So those are just two efforts that we have that are moving us in the direction of upgrading our standards. So just to clarify people's concerns, I know that there are lots of questions about development in the floodplain. So the first thing I'd like to point out again is that the city of Savannah and Chatham County have both adopted flood standards. I pulled out just a couple here that you can see to the right. They stipulate how it is that structures, whether they are residential, commercial, how they must be built and how they are structured in order to ensure that the people who live there and use those businesses or services to ensure that they're protected and also to ensure minimization of liability on the part of the jurisdictions to acquire properties that are repeatedly damaged by floods. This is also another tool that we have that, again, as we go through our development permitting process, we do look to the Stormwater Management Manual. And again, because we're in a coastal environment, the Coastal Stormwater Supplement, these are some standards that in looking at the Ogeechee Riverkeeper's recommendations and just in the general course of practice, we would like to encourage inclusion of many of these strategies and close assessment of these criteria to ensure that the development is compatible and safe. I would say in taking it a step further from just our minimum standards, we're also looking to LEED and the site's version 2 currently rating system in order to sort of advance what it is that we're doing even before we have adopted standards. So again, because we have kind of a really unique context and we don't yet have standards adopted that directly address this, and staff's hope that in working with this petitioner that we can come up with some criteria and performance standards that would keep everyone safe. And so with that, staff does recommend approval of the FLUM recommendation because this is consistent with the adopted policy documents. And then with regard to the rezoning, staff recommends approval with four conditions. The first being that the petitioner shall provide a wetland plan, identifying wetlands present on the site and identifying areas proposed to be filled and preserved. And the petitioner provide an updated general master plan reflecting the required wetland plan. And again, this is a step that as they go forward into specific site planning, that we would get that delineation so that we can understand specifically what we're dealing with regard to the aquatic resources that are currently accounted on the site plan. The second one is that the site shall not be cleared or graded until a wetland-related permit is finalized. The third, on-site wastewater treatment shall not be permitted. And the fourth, that all specific development plans for tracts within the PD be forwarded by MPC staff to the Planning Commission for approval. And so what we would expect in forwarding those is the board to consider things like minimum open space that's required, minimum design standards for stormwater ponds, pervious and impervious surfacing, and the rate of post-development runoff, again, site by site as these are coming in. I would like to make the distinction that these are not like the final master plans. These site plans, they would be forwarded to this board as they are received by staff. Those would not necessarily require notice, but they would go on the agenda and they would receive a staff report. So again, there's just kind of that door to encourage kind of some conversation about what it is that we expect in this area and to add any protections that we can. And so with that, I am happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Is the petitioner present? Okay. Who's are they? Go ahead.
Thank you, Ms. Jarrett. I didn't want to interrupt what was going on up there. For the record, my name is Harold Yellen. I'm here today on behalf of the petitioner, Farino Company. With me today is Mr. Eric Donahue, who's a principal of the company. Also with me today are Jim Collins and Ryan Thompson, who are the project engineers for this development. Of course, I attended the pre-meeting, and I heard some of the issues raised at that meeting. So with your permission, I'm going to shorten my presentation to allow for more time from the project engineers. I will also do, as Mr. Morrow did, I'll combine comments from item agenda numbers 7 and 8 instead of giving two separate presentations. They're really very much related. The property, of course, as you see up on your screen, at least I hope you are seeing on your screen, is approximately 160 acres. It is located on Old River Road, and it is across the street from the entrance to the Savannah Chatham Manufacturing Center. The property is zoned RA under the Chatham County Zoning Ordinance. We are requesting to be rezoned to a PD, a plan designation under the city's zoning ordinance, if and only if we are annexed into the city of Savannah. And that petition has already been filed, and our petition to the MPC specifically states that it is subject to annexation. We, as the petitioner, we've had several meetings with MPC staff before coming before you today. After several meetings, it was determined that a plan development that would be governed by the city zoning ordinance made the most sense for this property. And as MPC staff has asked us to do, more recent than in the past, we try and take our PD ordinance and tie it into existing NUZO zoning districts and uses. And that's what we did. PDs have been encouraged for larger tracts, like Eastern Wharf years ago, more recently Hopeton Landing and the fairgrounds. When you have larger properties, it makes more sense for the property to be rezoned as a PD. It achieves a mix of uses and design and development standards that are unique to the property. As noted by staff, and I'm going to quote them, PDs ensure orderly and thorough planning and review procedures that will result in a cohesive development. I think Mr. Morrow just used that word cohesive when he was referring to the flag lots. We are looking for a cohesive development at this site. The name of our PD is Riverside PD. Our PD does exactly what it is supposed to do. It establishes a variety of housing types, lot sizes, densities, and non-residential uses. Our master plan, which is up on the screen, you will note that there are non-residential uses where we believe they should be, which is at the intersection with Four Lakes Parkway, the entrance road to the manufacturing center. The majority of the site is residential, and because it will be governed by the City of Savannah zoning ordinance, if we're annexed, there's a perimeter buffer along Old River Road. There's a perimeter buffer adjoining properties to the south. There are 8.7 acres of open space and close to 60 acres for aquatic resources and wetland protection. Last piece of information that I don't think was clear from the pre-meeting or from the staff presentation. We do, of course, think that this is an ideal site for the proposed development. We think it will help with what staff called an urgent need for additional housing. But this is not going to happen overnight. At our neighborhood meeting, we went to great lengths to have a neighborhood meeting, and there were some concerned citizens that thought we're going to build out next year. We're looking at approximately a 9-year build out, a phased development. So all of the things that you see and all the things you're going to hear about today are phased out over the next 9, perhaps 10 years. And we do hope that during the next 9 or 10 years, we will be working with the city. We will be working with the county. We will be working with CETA for that intersection. We will be working with our neighbors, we believe, to establish an entirely sustainable neighborhood. At this point, Madam Chairwoman, if I can turn this over to the project engineers, I think it would be a benefit to directly address some of the concerns raised at the pre-meeting.
All right.
Thank you.
So, Good afternoon. Ryan Thompson. I'm actually not an engineer. I'm a landscape architect and land planner with Thomas Nutt. Mm. Mr. Jim Collins will be up here in a bit to be able to speak a bit about the infrastructure and some of the other items. But Harold did a great job of explaining kind of how and why we landed on the plan and the uses that we're proposing. We do recognize that this site is unique from a standpoint of being adjacent to the river, being within the floodplain area. And that's actually purposeful as to how we landed on the uses, going to a bit more of a vertical abilities related to the uses we're proposing. Obviously, the map you see doesn't give you a great context of where the site is, but hopefully you're all aware of it. But for those maybe that aren't, Four Lakes Parkway feeds the Savannah Chatham Manufacturing Center with thousands of jobs planned there. So the kind of burnt oranges area is the area that we are proposing as a mixed-use area. Predominantly probably still residential because we, you know, with this being kind of in between the two intersection points of I-16 on one end and Highway 204 on the other, we don't think this is really an area that's going to generate a lot of like highway commercial. It's going to be more so to service the employees and the manufacturing center as well as the residents here. One other element that it's a little bit difficult to see without the map side by side. But we do obviously recognize the importance of wetlands and protecting natural resources related to the plan. The plan we have here, if I had the ability to back up and show the plan that was the wetlands map from previous, you'll see that we're actually showing more area because we've coordinated and had a resource land consultant has done a preliminary wetland assessment. We fully agree that we've got to go through that process to finalize the wetlands, but we based our plan off of better wetland information than what exists out with the typical national wetland inventory. But we do fully recognize that we've got to go through that process to finalize the limits of the wetlands and any disturbance of those to be shown relative to the master plan. We are proud that typically we're fairly conservative with that assessment, that usually the limits will reduce a bit. But I don't want to mess with the map, but if you can remember some of the first slides there that that Edward showed, the wetlands were kind of limited just to – there we go. Yeah, so see if I do this without messing with it. The wetlands were limited just to this based off of the national wetland inventory, but we are recognizing that there's likely some additional wetlands that we're planning around related to the site. Related to what Harold already mentioned, buffers. We are planning perimeter buffers. We're planning for, it is it's a unique site. The idea of being adjacent to the river has its challenges, but also has its benefits related to creating a great community. We're planning to put the majority of the growth toward Old River Road. And there will be some requirements. Mr. Jim Collins will speak a bit about it here in a bit, but related to some floodplain mitigation requirements and efforts we have to do down toward the river. So really that's the fact that the city adopted NUZO and there's built-in zoning districts that we're able to incorporate inside this PD that allows for that mixed use is great. We appreciate the fact that that's now an option for us, whereas it wouldn't have been in the past. So with that, I will hand it over to Jimmy to talk a bit about the other engineering-related aspects of it, and obviously we'll be around to help answer any questions as you come forward.
Thank you, Ryan. Madam Chair, members of the Planning Commission, I'm Jim Collins. I'm a civil engineer. Ryan's the planner. We work together on this project for Thomas and Hutton. Edward brought up some of the additional conditions, which we're in complete agreement with when we get to the appropriate stage of the project regarding adhering to the coastal stormwater supplement, and producing the cleanest amount of runoff possible. I think one of the good things about this site is they're relatively sandy soils, and I think we're going to have the opportunity for some infiltration, on this site. But I do want to point out, as Edward mentioned, that, you know, we're 100% in the FEMA 100-year floodplain, which means that we're going to be governed by the City of Savannah's Flood Damage Prevention Ordinance. And what that requires is that we must be, as he pointed out, 2 feet above base flood elevation. And base flood elevation has been established for this stretch of the Geechee River. It's roughly between elevation 25 and 26 as you move from the southern part of the property north along Old River Road. So that means that our structures are going to need to be at elevation 27 and 28 as per the flood damage prevention ordinance. What that means is we are going to have some fill on the site. The ordinance further stipulates that any fill that is placed on that site must be mitigated by the removal of an equal volume of material on site, such that we do not raise the 100 year flood elevation by half an inch. And we will have, we'll have to prove that at the, appropriate point of the approval process. One other thing I would like to point out, we're not immediately adjacent to the Geechee River. We have freshwater wetlands that are between the river and the upland areas. So our goal with this project is going to be to move stormwater. And one thing I do want to point out, we are not in the Little Geechee watershed. And I know there's been some concerns about that, relative to some development happening on the east side of Old River Road. Runoff from this project will be filtered through stormwater ponds, infiltrated where we can, and will flow through the wetlands directly to the Geechee River. We will not cross any other properties with our conveyance. One other point, Harold, briefly touched on traffic, and I think if you've traveled out there, you know there are some issues, particularly at Fort Argyle Road and Old River Road. I would like to point out that there have been some studies recently done. The Coastal Empire, GDOT's Coastal Empire Regional Transportation Study, identified widening of Old River Road and John Carter Road in their intermediate term, which would be in 8 years. And of course, what we're looking at, as Harold pointed out, this is probably a 10 to 11 year project. In addition to that, the Corps MPO has also in their 2045 mobility plan identified $17 million in needed improvements that would begin in year 28 to 2036. Now, the funding has not been secured for that, but I think what that does is establish priority from additional funding sources, probably the state, to help fund the widening of Old River Road. And lastly, I would mention that, and this was fairly recent, in the governor's amended fiscal year 24 budget, funding was secured for the widening of I-16 from I-95 to Old River Road. And that would potentially address ramp improvements needed at Old River Road and I-16. That concludes my remarks, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
All right. Are there any questions for staff or the applicant?
Staff, what is the density we're going to?
So at about 159 acres, there are proposed up to 1,600 units. That's about 10 units an acre. That is a little bit different. I'll just say that when we began talking with the petitioner about developing this site, I can't say that number appeared. We did not discuss a specific number, but that number appeared on the DRI forms when we received them.
So we're looking at 1,600 units plus, 50,000 square feet of retail?
Those are maximums. That is not to say that you will actually achieve either of those numbers. And again, staff's recommendations are aimed at having the opportunity of this board to look at specifically what's proposed as each pod comes in for development. So looking at what's possible within the realm of approved regulations and anything that we feel needs to be modified to make the use more compatible. So
thank you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Mr. Milder.
Thank you. Mr. Moore, can you talk more about the AE flood zones and the city and county's requirements for the 2 feet over? That was a fairly recent increase in regulation, was it not?
Absolutely. So the city just adopted updated flood regulations to maintain that consistency with the National Flood Insurance Program. And again, these were specifically aimed at ensuring that folks who acquired these properties remained safe, to ensure that the city limited its liability in terms of properties that might repeatedly flood. But ultimately, what I think should be known is that anybody who purchases in this area, because of the city's participation with the standards at the federal level, flood insurance will be available, and they'll receive all the benefits. And obviously, everything that is developed in this area will be held to these standards. So.
Because not everybody has these standards.
That is correct.
That's right. Sure.
Questions?
I have a question for Mr. Collins.
Yes, ma'am.
So you talked a little bit about this development is going to be governed by the city's floodplain ordinance. Are you familiar, is the petitioner familiar with the city's flood mitigation plan?
We are with the volumetric mitigation requirement.
Because it specifically says that part of their objective is to implement growth management policies to guide new developments away from current or future high-risk areas. So we know that this is I believe you live out there on the Old River Road, right?
My partner, Ryan, he lives in Effingham County, a little further north. But I was out there the days August 10th and August 11th when the river was staging up, so we could actually monitor the impact on the land.
And you talk about the watershed going off into the Ogeechee, but when it breaches Old River Road, which it does, it goes off into the next basin where there is continuous problems with all kinds of downstream conveyance in that basin. Is that correct?
Yeah, there was a spot, and I actually took some photographs of it a little further to the north, and I think it was adjacent to Mr. Stokes' property, where there's a depressed area that was pushing water across Old River Road. And looking back at the LIDAR topography, it looked like it was about elevation 23, maybe 23 and a half at its maximum stage. So that was the one area where it did, you know, indeed, I don't know how much water pushed over there. It was a pretty narrow slough, but it did crest Old River Road at that location.
And at Joiners, it crested at that intersection of John Carter and Joiners.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't see that one because I couldn't get all the way down there, but
exactly.
I did see that one.
Yeah. No, unless you had a canoe. But, okay. So it does, even though y'all are going to be, discharging toward, I mean, it's going to go towards the river, but there is a problem of, you know, when it breaches Old River Road, it goes into the other basin.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. And, there, and another part of the mitigation, the city's mitigation plan is to enhance drainage systems and maintain programs to unclog and clear drainage. But right now I'm not sure that, because of the progress, it says as the stormwater resources have otherwise focused on just basic residential complaints rather than enhanced programs out there. Are you familiar with any enhancement of drainage programs out there?
Well, I know there's a study in the Little Ogeechee Basin that is ongoing. There's some improvements that were recommended with that. Again, that's east of Old River Road.
Right, but nothing's been implemented at this time?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay, and we talk about this is a 10-year build-out project.
Approximately, our best guess at this stage.
9-10. My concerns is that with climate change, we know that the storms are getting worse. So in 10 years, we're projecting you know, storms to be more severe and more frequent. And I think that when we talk about the 100-year flood, the floodplain, it's a little misleading because it's implying that this area only floods once every 100 years. But the actuality is that the flood risk over a 30-year period is actually 26%. So a 1 in 4 chance of flooding. And this property is 100% in the floodplain.
That's correct.
That's correct. Okay. 100%. So over your build out period, the storms are going to get worse and they're going to get more frequent. And, in a community that's already having, drainage issues from the west side of Old River Road to the east side of Old River Road, and there hasn't been any movement with the city or the county to get the ball rolling. And the drainage study, I believe the West Town drainage study was complete in 23. Is that right? I believe. Anybody? I don't know. I think it was 2023. So is there any improvements that if you were to build that you would be able to mitigate all of the issues and concerns?
Well, one thing I would say, and you're absolutely correct regarding the intensity of storms. I think, you know, the city taking the lead with the flood damage prevention ordinance and baking in that additional foot does provide a hedge against that. One other thing I will bring up is the NOAA has been developing a manual. It's the manual we use. We call it IDF curves, intensity, duration, frequency curves. And that process was started in 26. My understanding is a draft of that document is supposed to be released in late 25, early 26. And the intent of that is to address the intensity, the increased intensity of those storms. And I would imagine, as has been the case in the past, that the local jurisdictions would adopt that. That's sort of the Bible that we use. So that is something that's going to be coming out very soon to address the concerns that you raised.
But should we get those results in?
We'll be designing by those standards for our stormwater conveyance. But I will say, and we did some research because we, when you have an event like Debbie, I mean, I actually want to go out there and see the impact that it has. And, we pulled some NOAA data and, at Morgan's Bridge, it got to elevation 20.3, and that was the highest in 76 years. At Dasher's Landing at Highway 80, it actually got up to 35, right at 35, which was the third highest stage in 99 years. So when I look at the elevations near our project and where the river broached or breached Old River Road and crossed it there at elevation 23, that made sense to me. And us being at elevation 27 with our structures, again, this event, based on wherever the location was, has a different return interval, but I would, this was a fairly, extreme event. So, in that particular case, we would have been 4 feet above the, stage elevation of the Geechee at the location of our development.
Of your development, but I'm also concerned about the surrounding community where when, developments go in and, water is displaced when you build in floodplains.
It is, which is why you need to adhere to volumetric mitigation, and removing an equal volume. It's just like putting a cube of ice in a glass of water. The water is going to rise, so you have to pull out another cube of ice. That's the best analogy I can give to it. So, that's how we mitigate for that. And I think we're going to have additional standards, from NOAA regarding rainfall events. We'll take in the increased intensity that we're seeing.
Are you going to take into account the developments out there that that maybe their drainage plans did not go according to their plan and has caused a rise in the levels out there?
If we had offsite conveyance, which we were, you know, if we were conveying our stormwater across other properties, absolutely, we would have to take that in consideration. In this particular case, our runoff's going to be directed to the Ogeechee through stormwater management facilities. Now, if we were involved in the project, yes, we absolutely would.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? I have some questions. Regarding the stormwater runoff, if it's going back to the Ogeechee River, how is that going to affect the Savannah-Ogeechee Canal system and the archaeological heritage that we have there?
I'm not aware of any impacts that we would have to that, you know, if we adhere to the regulations that are imposed on us.
From the city of Savannah, actually, from the preservation officer of the city of Savannah, she expresses concern about the stormwater runoff in the Ogeechee River could cause irreversible damage to the remaining historic lock system of the Savannah-Ogeechee Canal system.
Yeah, we're happy to take a look at that. I'm not aware of any potential impacts related to our development to that.
Are you familiar with the DRI?
Yes.
Okay. It was in the DRI. I do have some concerns about the volumetric exchange. You say you're going to raise the property to 25 or 26 feet and you're going to offset it on the property. But what I see here is that the property is generally around elevation 20.
Yeah, and not all of the area is going to be raised to that elevation. It will be the structures that will be at that elevation. We're anticipating many structures will be elevated even above that with parking underneath, which would lessen the amount of fill placed in the floodplain.
So the areas where the parking is would be susceptible to flood?
No, we would have to adhere to the city's requirements for pavement. And I'm off the top of my head, I'm not exactly sure what that is. It's either for the 25 or the 50 year storm, you have to maintain a 12 foot wide travel way there. So we would be required to adhere to that. Again, when we get to that stage, we're going to have to do, you know, very detailed analysis with
okay,
that.
Okay. And if the base flood elevation is 25 feet, your parking area is going to have to be 25 feet.
No, that's okay. The 100 year elevation. It would okay. Either be the 25 or the 50 year storm, which would be a lower elevation than that.
Do you have the elevation of that?
I don't. We're not at that stage of the project.
Okay. One of the things I wanted to ask Mr. Morrow was about the density. In the slides that you presented, I think it was like the third slide you presented, you showed residential. Nope, keep going back. Keep going back. Oh, maybe go back one more. Yes, this one. When you look at the suburban residential primary uses, single family detached and attached, and then you get to the density and it says the density is low, 3 to 5 units per acre.
Sure.
What you're telling me is that they're doing 10 units per acre plus commercial.
Right. So these are character areas. Typically when we're sort of trying to paint a picture for people to understand what the aesthetic of a given area is, we'll use a generalization called a character area. And so I'll just say this was developed at a time where I think just some of the cases that we've seen come through here, we understand that it might have been aspirational. It might have been a little bit of oversight occasionally where perhaps we had things that looking at it at that time, it seemed appropriate, but hindsight, you know, has proven differently. I would say that given Hyundai, given a number of other economic sort of wins that this region has had, we probably did not anticipate that we were going to see this kind of growth. And so it requires kind of a recalibration, I'd say.
Did the DRI also talk about the timber in the area and the value of that timber remaining pristine?
Not that I recall.
Okay. No. I recalled something along those lines. I know that we talked about the gopher turtle earlier and the habitat for that. That is of a concern to me as well.
So if I could, I'd just like to throw out there again, these particular standards being somewhat aspirational, we will usually see developers go straight to the gray with minimal consideration of green infrastructure, low impact development. And so those staff conditions were aimed at this type of exchange that we're having right now so that we can hear from the subject matter experts to say, this is what our metrics are saying, and the board can determine whether or not higher performance standards need to be required, just given the ground truth, you know, the things that we know about the area. This is a unique site. And so, as I explained to Mr. Yellen beforehand, my hope for this is that we would set kind of a broad, you know, general framework where we understand the style of development that we're getting, it being a suburban residential context, but that literally every site plan would be something that looking at what is proposed, we would have the opportunity to decide, given proximity to the river, proximity to the manufacturing center, we could look at it site plan by site plan, kind of within that framework that we would set today. And so at least there would be some assurances about what the board was comfortable with at this point. And then moving forward, once we get those details, we can really narrow down.
Do you have any concern that we're increasing the flow into the Ogeechee River and possibly affecting the canal system, the historic canal system?
So truthfully, just kind of from my vantage point, I think that the current state of some of our development will remain what it is if we do not actually sort of promote new developments that have the opportunity to bring changes.
I do understand and agree that we need new development. I'm just not sure that this is the right place at the right time.
Well, I personally think it's a matter of intensity. Like I said, as we were talking, I think everything has more or less gone to course. We were talking about a style of development that would take place on this site, but we didn't really get into intensity. And so I understand what the petitioner is doing. But again, in looking at some of our newer frameworks, if we look at, again, LEED and sites, we might in the future have the opportunity to, you know, further mitigate some of the impacts that folks are seeing right now. If we, number one, require folks to do different things right now, but then it also brings attention to broader changes that are needed. And, you know, perhaps the city or the county will have a reason to
invest. Which brings me to my other really big concern. Is there are people out there who are flooding today during intense storms. And it appears from everything that I've heard that there's not a lot being done to address the issues of the residents who live out there right now. And we're asking them to accept that we're going to build a fairly dense neighborhood that we're being told will not impact them unless it flows over Old River Road, which apparently it has in the past. And I just really have heartburn trying to move forward with a project that may exacerbate the problems that exist in the area.
I think it's a matter of design standards.
I agree, but
we adopt the correct standards. Also, just to note, this is a request. This board has the ability to say, maybe this is too intense. Maybe we need to scale back just a little. That's also any of these things are within the purview of this board to make a recommendation to the actual legislative body. So.
All right. Thank you. Any other questions? Go ahead, Mr. Stevens.
Mr. Morrow. Don't sit down yet. speaking in regards to density and not having been able to anticipate the growth that we're getting because of things that have come to this area, is there some type of formula that now that we have some type of projections on the type of growth, is there a formula in your wheelhouse that can allow for you to calculate what that density calibration should look like in those character areas?
I will say that as we're looking at this, we do look at analogous cities. So obviously in every context, you can always find an analogous situation where you have a plant to relocate somewhere, or some other change that kind of fundamentally alters the way that a region is functioning. So we are looking at analogous cities that have gone through similar things, and we'll see some, sort of tweaking to our character areas and what we sort of understand as being appropriate, as we go into the comp plan process.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Go ahead, Ms. Bowles.
My concern is not only the development in the floodplain area, but specifically that there is an overlay that exists. And can you speak to, or even the developer to speak to, how do we address? Because it's, I think what we're asking us to do is to ignore the overlay in order for this to move forward. So if someone could address that, please.
If I could just pull that up quickly. Okay. The Plain River Corridor, is this the overlay you're referring to, Ms. Bowles?
It's I think on the...
It's a little tiny rectangle. Okay, awesome. So this is it. Just to show you Section 4-10, these are the standards that are associated with that overlay. And it is requiring a natural vegetative buffer, all areas lying within 50 feet horizontally on both sides of the PRC measured from the riverbank. The uses are those that are permitted in the underlying zoning district, single family dwellings. It's got some special circumstances there. Again, timber production, provided best management practices are used, and drinking quality. So these are standards that, again, are aimed at kind of maintaining that environmental aesthetic. Again, the staff recommended conditions are aimed at having the opportunity to look at each individual site plan and to understand how the use that is proposed within that pod is going to interact with the most environmentally sensitive areas along the river corridor and, again, along the wetlands. So it's giving you some flexibility. We know that we want to see development. Just to put this in context, I would expect well over 100 units at 159 acres, just gross, even after you take out all of the driveways and all the other sort of ancillary stuff that comes with developing a parcel. You're going to get potentially over 100 subdivisions that would be, you know, legal by right now. And to imagine those as some form of either flag lot or uncoordinated development, or they are coming before this board asking for variances in the form of a non-conforming subdivision, things of that nature. Not speaking specifically to favoring any intensity of use, but staff supports a character of use in this area. So again, just keep that in mind. We want it to be coordinated. We know that it is going to be suburban in nature, just given the context, and just setting up guardrails to ensure that what comes in the future does take the context into account. Yes, ma'am.
Other questions? Go ahead, Ms. Amick.
I can't help but think about Pooler and what a freaking nightmare that is. And this can be the next upcoming nightmare, because I've looked on Sages and it seems to be surrounded by vacant land that can grow and grow and grow. It's currently zoned R2.
RA, residential
RA. What does that require in terms of single family dwellings? What does that allow?
Yes. So RA, we call it a holding category, generally speaking. But in Chatham County, you're looking at approximately an acre to subdivide for a single family parcel, just because most of these require a septic tank and replacement drain field.
So two homes per acre.
Essentially, yeah. 30,000 to 46.
And converting this zoning to PUD. Mm-hmm. You said up to 10 per acre.
That is the proposal. That's the request.
Which is 0.2 tenths of an acre point per home. Mm-hmm. Which is
gross.
Sitting on top of each other, tiny. Is there a way to limit that number?
Yes, absolutely. This board has the ability to say, we think that 1,600 units is too many. You can add an overall cap. You could assess that as individual site plans come in. So just to give the breakdown, we're looking at a general development master plan today. You can expect final master plans in the future. And staff recommends that actually each of the specific development plans, which are the plans that staff would normally approve and they would not come to the board, we're recommending that you have the opportunity also to look at those and to say, we want to look at the performance standards of the site to make sure that we're not, you know, causing issues in one place or another. And what that specific plan set does is it gives you the full stack. So you will see the stormwater, you'll see the water in the sewer, you'll see the erosion and sedimentation control plan. You'll see everything that is in that plan stack, and you'll have the ability to comment on it and say, we're happy with this, we're not happy with this. So it's a negotiation from the beginning to the end.
Do you recall, I've not been on the MPC that long, do you recall us doing that, setting that kind of a condition?
Not in my time. I'm sure it has happened. In looking at the history of this board, when Gary Plumlee was here in particular, I can tell only from looking at litigation that there were very detailed engineering studies that were debated in this venue. So, yes.
Thank you.
Sure.
Other comments?
I have a question. Is the developer here?
Yes.
Can I ask a question of you?
Please come to the microphone and state your name for the record.
My name is Eric Donahue. I'm a principal with Farina.
Hey, so I have a question. I've looked at a couple of maps of the development, the master plan, and I see that there's a master plan for River Ridge. Are you planning to develop that?
We were not. Initially, we were. It was on the other side of Old River Road.
Okay.
But when we looked at the whole project as a whole, we decided to drop that portion of it off to address any issues that you have brought up today. We thought it was much better to keep it a smaller development as opposed to bring in River Ridge, which would have made it much larger on that side.
Okay. And from what, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that it was said that there is a lot of problems concerning that parcel of land over there.
I don't necessarily know that there were actual problems. We could have put enough density over there for our plan itself, but we were looking then at a much larger number we would have been asking for in terms of units.
Uh-huh.
And we just looked at overall coming in and trying to plan this out and trying to stay in accordance with what we would think you guys would want. So we dropped that. I don't recall there necessarily being problems.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Other questions? I have a request. Can we look at the site plan again and then look at the wetlands that were described by Ryan Thompson?
General development plan. I don't think we had a standalone exhibit. It was just the general development master plan.
Yeah, it was just a general development master plan, not a site plan. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Okay.
The area that I'm concerned about is where Four Lakes intersects with this road that looked like the wetlands were much closer to Old River Road, and that area might be difficult to try and
So yes, from the plan standpoint, the wetlands that we're planning based off of have come up the hill. I guess I'll say there's a very defined.
Can you just repeat your name for the record?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Ryan Thompson, landscape architect Thomas Nutton. From a standpoint of that, it's just that when RLC went out there, Resource Land Consultants went out there, they defined a line that's further up the hill than basically what the NWI.
Will you be able to negotiate that intersection?
Yes. We'll be able to work the intersection in that spot. There is a, Sorry, I didn't know what that was. There is a pocket of a depression there that we're unsure whether or not it's a wetland, but it's not connected to the bigger wetland system. It's an individual piece there. If you're talking about the green space that's there right across from the entrance.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Anything else? I have several citizens who would like to share their thoughts or ask questions. One of whom has brought pictures. Is it possible to have a staff member hold the pictures for us so that we can? All right, Ms. Joanne Cottle? Cottle? Cottle. Sorry. If you'd say your name for the record, please.
Joanne Cottle, and I live at 108 Huckleberry Road. I've been in here before, and I was at the community meeting that they held, and Mr. Yellen pointed out that, yes, this could be a 9 to 10 year project. It doesn't matter if it's tomorrow or 10 years. It's not going to change the effect on where I live in my community. You are looking at the blue house in those pictures is my house. My elevation is 24 feet.
24?
24. That the river had not actually crested at that point. It became up to the top step of my steps. We're 6 cinder block high. Our daughter built their home in 2016. She is at 27 and a half feet. It was just at her garage door. So on paper, it looks good. On paper, you can say 25 feet. I have proof. It doesn't work. One reason is because the development coming up on that's in our area. When we built in 89, thank you, we were not in a flood zone. We could have built on a slab. Thank the Lord we didn't. In 36 years, give or take, this is where we are now. Because everything that's done, every tree that is cut, they're not soaking up the water, groundwater or flood water. They are not helping run it a different direction or the original direction. That river has changed over the years, how it comes through from the Ogeechee River to the backside and up and around to our property. And I'm sorry, this is so childish looking, but it's the best I could do.
Fine. You do only have 3 minutes, and it looks like you have.
Okay. Well, I wanted to address this and the traffic. I'll do it really quick. This is where they're coming. This is where I live. It was flooded. All this in red was flooded. Some of the other pictures, you saw the car immersed up to its windows. That was just down in front of another development that was on the agenda. I don't know if it still is, or Highland or Highgate is coming in. That was across the road from that. You ask about the Savannah-Ogeechee River Canal. Did you see the picture of it?
I did not. No, I didn't. That kind of went by me.
Oh, can I show it to you?
Sure.
Quickly.
Let's let Sally show it to me, and that way you can be at the microphone. If you'll go back to the microphone and describe for me. Wow. Okay.
Okay. That's your Savannah-Ogeechee River Museum. So yes, it will affect it.
Okay.
I can answer that for you. The stormwater, may I continue for just a little bit? I can answer a lot of the questions you were asked.
I understand. Unfortunately, you have 3-minute time limit, and I should have announced that at the beginning. Would someone be willing to give up their time so she can continue?
Yes, there's 3 of us. Yep, 1 of us. She can take my time.
Okay, and thank your name?
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. I'll try to make it quick. The stormwater, there's no other way. If it goes to the Ogeechee, it's coming down my road. Okay. Asphalt, I'm sure they're going to have asphalt roads in there. All of this is going to drain. I don't care what kind of system you put it through. Every blade of grass I had in my yard, every plant I had in my yard is dead since August. We're out there doing it again. It will have an environmental impact. Wildlife, we have a pack of coyotes in the property next to us that we hear all the time. Wildlife is being affected. Not that this is a whole lot of that, but we even had an alligator in the driveway when those pictures were made, a 5-foot alligator. The more development, the worse it's going to get. I'm going to switch real quick to the traffic. Again, I live right at the intersection. Everybody calls it Fort Argyle Road now. Old timers call it Highway 204 and Old River Road. I pulled some records. In 36 months, there have been 85 accidents called in to 911. That does not include just the fender benders that people said, okay, we're done, you know, we're okay. 5 fatalities at that stop sign. This development's wanting to come in with 1,600 more residences. There's a 360-unit apartment building on John Carter Road coming in. Highgate or Highland, whatever it is coming in. I have no idea, but it looks like a bunch. Their ingress and egress is coming out right in the curve where that stop sign is. You're going to put another, even the number they had, which is not going to be, if you got 2,000 units, you're going to have pretty much 2,000 cars at any given time extra to what we have. The GDOT, they have approved a roundabout to go there, but there are no funds available. We've got to have some help. They're coming. They're coming. I know growth is coming. I'm not opposed to growth, but I do feel like these developers, no matter how nice they are, need to consider the community that is already there. We've been out there, some of us, 30 years. We've had property 45 years. We bought acreage for a reason, and that's what we would like to preserve. One quick point, schools are at capacity already. You can go to the Board of Education and get the numbers. There's no more room. At New Hampstead Elementary, fifth graders do not get a hot lunch pretty much every day because they run out of food.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Ms. Cottle? All right.
Can you just tell me the number of the accidents at 204 and Old River Road? What was the number?
85 was the last number that I had, and that was, I think, through.
85 and how many months within?
36 months.
85 and 36 months. And how many fatalities?
5.
5 fatalities.
Let me add to that, Ms. Wilson, there have been 35 accidents at John Carter and Old River Road in 14 months.
Okay, that's – I forgot my other question. So I don't Sorry, if I think of it. Yes, I do. So, you talked about, you know, coming and talking to this board. How many years have you been coming up here expressing your concerns to this board?
Well,
over these same issues?
As far as me personally speaking, 3 years, but who I was working with have been doing it since 2018. If I'm correct with that.
2018. That's a long time for a low income, vulnerable community to go without adequate public service and adequate facilities. That's a long time for a vulnerable community to go without adequate public facilities.
I could not hear this gentleman when he was talking. He was very soft spoken. You were pointing down to the south side of where the development is coming. And I couldn't hear. It was something about facilities, like where my home is. We have nothing. It's a private road. That man sitting back there has maintained it for 36 years. We have no dirt. When it floods, we get nothing.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. All right, Mr. Sparks, Walter Sparks. You have 3 minutes if you'd state your name for the record.
Sure. Walter Sparks, and I live at 744 Old River Road. And I'm directly across from the property that they're proposing. And I mean, I don't exactly know what a 100-year flood zone is. I assumed it floods like once every 100 years. Well, I've been living there 35 years and I can't remember back every year, but 3 of the last 4 years, it's been up to the telephone poles on Old River Road. The whole property that they're looking at has been underwater. I used to go ride my four-wheeler through it and go back to a hill by the river, but this past year I couldn't. It was too deep. Of course, it came across Old River Road and onto our property too. So, but it's definitely not a 100-year flood zone. It floods probably 2 or 3 out of every 4 years. And I've been there a long time. And when we come out our driveway, you look straight across the road. There's telephone wires. There's the water. And it goes all the way to the river. And we live on a sand hill. The pond behind us, 100-acre pond, was dug for the sand. And they went down, I think, 40, 45 feet, and it's still sand. So all the water that is created from miles around comes through our property and through this property to the river. And it does concern me what would happen if they put all this over there. Where would all this water, would it be diverted? I mean, it's already flooding people out, so, you know, it's a big concern for us. And the property behind us, it did make a big difference. We have water now when it floods or when it storms, we have water where we didn't have water before. So it all runs to the river and everything around there, all the way down, like you said earlier, it seems to be getting worse. And that seems to be our destiny. So, but that's all I wanted to say. And we'll give some time for someone else. Thank you.
Thank you. John New.
My name is John New. I live, actually, Mr. Sparks is our neighbor. And we would be, I think it's the second entrance going south would be of the new proposed area would be right across from one of our driveways. We have 10 acres, 2 of those 5-acre lots. This past August, the river did breach Old River Road right in front of our property. We had fish swimming in our driveway, and I got pictures on my phone here to prove that. We are utility contractors, and my concern, because and I'm not against growth. We must go higher and do better. My concern is the sanitary. You know, I know that you've got to annex that property in the city of Savannah to get water and sewer, but you're going to have a lift station. That's going to be in a low spot to a certain extent. And even the roads, if the structures are built up, the sanitary sewer is still going to be subject to being flooded. Where's all that going? And I know Fulton Love, that owns Love's Catfish, he just a few years back, he started fishing for catfish out of the river. He hadn't done that. He'd been buying them, and he started back fishing in the river. We have one of the most beautiful rivers up and down the eastern seaboard is right there, that Ogeechee River. It's a beautiful place, beautiful property, and that's my concern is the environment. And yes, that river floods. It's like my neighbor said, you can pull out your driveway, the sun's setting on the west, and you can see the glitter of the water when the river gets up. It don't have to be a big time flood. It can just get up, and it's across the road there. Traffic issues, I'm not going to reiterate that, but and I'm going to stop, let somebody else have a chance, but thank you for your time.
Thank you. Judah New?
Yes, my name is Judah New. I live at 706 Old River Road. I'm my dad's neighbor. That was my dad that just spoke. I just got three big concerns. He kind of hit them. I eat catfish out of the river, and it's already kind of iffy right now whether you should eat them or not. And I'm about growth, man. I am. All that stuff's going to go right into the river. And if it floods the lift station, it's going right to the river. It's going to be in my driveway. I'm not really down for that. I just don't see any other way to really do. I just don't think it's the best spot. That's just me. And then not only that, the traffic, we already got that the warehouses in the back is right behind my house. There's, 18 wheelers. Don't miss it, man. They're just flying up and down the road going 65, a lot of times going 70 right outside my driveway. Old River Road. I mean, if you're bringing 1600 houses, that's a lot for a two lane road. And then the other one is 10 years, of development. I don't want to necessarily live in front. I don't know who would of 10 years of construction zone. That's it. That's all I got to say. Appreciate it.
I have a card here from an Ann. If she'd like to come up and speak, we would need you to give us your name for the record, please.
Well, my name's Ann. I'm going to say Anna, and I'm going to say
your last name, please.
I'm going to say part of a shell company like most people maybe in here are. Okay. Anyway.
I'm sorry.
I'll say Hickey. Anyway, when I ask a question, I've asked to redeem my time back. Is that okay if I speak to the petitioners?
No, you need to speak with us.
Only to no petitioners? Okay. Because first of all, he made, I was going to ask him and I guess everyone else up there too, did they know what the river basin is and where it's at? So
river basin?
That's a question I would like to answer. Yeah. Where the river basin is for the Ogeechee River and where it's located at. They should know. Everyone should know that. It's easy. And also, the guy, I can't remember your name up there. Yeah. He mentioned that the Ogeechee River goes north. You know, there's no river in the United States that runs north except for one, okay? And it's not in Savannah, okay? That river runs south. It does. And also, I've seen there's a conservation easement for the New Hempstead. I think it was done back. I don't know if y'all are familiar with that or not. There was some figure eight, y'all know figure eight, and then New Hempstead Holdings. Well, I've got the books, the deeds and everything else. And also, where, you know, the city of Savannah was excited to get 800 and something acres to protect us. It has riparian rights in there to protect everyone from, riparian rights.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what that is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and I'm sorry, but water cuts like a knife when it's slight, when it goes, cuts like a knife. Okay. And so when it can't go north, it's impossible. Okay. So from the Morgan's Bridge, probably to the canal, it probably is at least a 25 foot drop. Okay. And the river rises all the time up there, okay? When everybody else is enjoying their lives, the river always rises. My family's been up there for 250 plus years, okay? I know where it rises at. It's like quicksand in some places. Ask my son. He went down almost his neck in quicksand, okay? It's like quicksand. And we barely could get him out in the swamp. I wasn't even here to speak to this project today. It's another project, okay? It's basically the whole entire area with the deeds down to where, you know, Carter Brothers, y'all heard of them? All those quick claim deeds. Carter Brothers, Figure Eight, New Hampstead Holdings, the mayor and alderman agreed to all this. I've got it all whenever y'all like for me to disclose or meet with me and show it to you. But then every single one of them, especially the conservation easement that was taken, there was a $6 million transaction, a $2 million transaction. And, you know, I'm not sure if they bought the, at this point, I'm not sure exactly if they bought the, if the money was bought with city money or what, you know, but it needs to be disclosed to all these people. Most of these people over here, y'all probably know me. Some of y'all might know me, but anyway, the point being, I wasn't here. I'm sorry. I wasn't here to talk on this fact, but that piece of property.
Your time is
okay.
Up.
Well, let me know when y'all want these deeds and everything else, because the Carter brothers was never and everyone's got quick claims, excuse me, in that portion of the Figure Eight New Holdings LLC, New Hampshire Holdings. We want to know who that is. That's
thank you. All right, and I have one person online, Connie Shreef. Problem. I think it's
hello.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
I'm fine. Could you say your name for the record, please?
Connie Shreve. Okay. So I'm Connie Shreve. I live on the Ogeechee River. I actually own a piece of property on Old River Road. In August, when the Ogeechee River flooded, my son took his camper and went over there to Old River Road where he flooded, right at the corner at Joiner's Corner. So yes, it does flood there. And I appreciate Joanne and whoever the other woman was that was trying to talk about Savannah Ogeechee Canal. Anything that is developed on the river affects downriver. Our Clean Water Act was adopted in 1970. There are a lot of things that need to be changed at this time. But after this major disaster we just had in August, the city of Savannah and the MPC needs to use their common sense about developing on the Ogeechee River. I am an outfitter. Since 1995, I have not rented a boat in many years, and whoever the man was that was trying to calculate the flooding, it floods every year. In fact, it's flooded today. So Savannah Ogeechee Canal trails are closed today because the river's across the trails. It's just getting off my river lot here at Morgan's Bridge today. So when they say that it's minor river flooding, it's already over my river lot here at Morgan's Bridge. Anything that is done upriver from us affects us downriver. Just Hyundai taking out 3,000 acres of trees has already affected us. None of us would have been flooded like we were in August if those trees wouldn't have been removed on the river. The city of Savannah used to be the best well-planned city in the whole United States. Mm-hmm. I think the MPC and the city of Savannah, Chatham County needs to go back to the drawing board and start over. We're the lowest area on the southeast. Florida might be lower than us, but we are the low country. We cannot keep developing our wetlands. We can't keep doing mitigation and trying to rebuild wetlands. Redevelop wetlands are not wetlands. The soils they bring in to reestablish wetlands are not soils to be used for wetlands. We don't have enough inspectors anywhere for any of these developments. And whoever the man was earlier about the sanitation, the sanitation is going to have to be pumped.
Thank you, Ms. Reed. Thank you, ma'am. All right. Are there any questions for Ms. Shreve, or are we ready for the petitioner to come up and rebut? Come on up.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I just don't want to lose track of the petition that's before you today. The petition that is before you today is for rezoning to a plan development. It is not a site plan. We're not here asking you to approve a site plan. We're here to ask you, does a PD, a plan development, make sense for this acreage? That will do nothing more than decide what type of uses may go on this site. Housing, densities, non-residential, that's the petition. And as is often the case, when you get a petition for zoning, the discussion seems to go in this direction, and we get involved in the what-ifs. And I completely understand. The comments were well-made and well-received. But the petition before you today is one for rezoning. And y'all have heard me use this expression all the time. Zoning is nothing but the canvas that you paint on. And we don't know what to even do until we know what the zoning is. We're pretty comfortable that RA is not the correct zoning for this site. And we also know that to leave this property undeveloped may make some people happy, but that's also not the answer. The answer is, how do we systematically focus on this property, come up with a cohesive plan? And the first step is always zoning. Something was also said by staff, Mr. Morrow, which I think might have gone past everyone, including me, until I asked him again if it were true what he just said. Typically, when we have a PD development, with each pod, we come back before you for a general development plan. And then at a later date, we come back with a specific development plan. And if it's consistent with the general plan, it gets approved on staff level. What I saw up on the screen was he was recommending that the specific development plan come back to you. Mm-hmm. That is significant. And it went right past me because it was sort of a late introduction into the staff report. So I have no doubt that whatever it is we build over time, it is possible that lessons learned on pod one will roll over into pod two and into pod three. But the ultimate control of what we build and how we build it remains with the Planning Commission. So we don't get to leave this room with zoning and run out and get a building permit. Hardly the case. This is just step one. My third and final point is there seems to be a lot of questions. I was at the pre-meeting, and I've heard the questions there and the questions here. We are happy to continue this petition for a reasonable amount of time, but we need to know what it is that you need. What is the data that you need? There's a lot going on here, and I can tell you that it's been a pleasure working with Farino. Farino, every step of the way, and that's the Farino company. There you are. Eric Donahue has been asking at every turn, what's the right thing to do? What should we do? How should we do it? He is not coming in here trying to bulldoze his way through. He's asking all the right questions. But I want to make sure he understands what it is that you want to know if this petition should be continued. So I stand before you today to say we do not have an issue if you want this continued. We'd love to know what it is we need to come back with, what those data points are, and we'll do it. Thank you, Madam Chairman. Thank you all for your consideration.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant? Any discussion?
I have just a little bit of discussion. With the consideration that this lot will at some point be developed into something, what I'm hearing is generally it seems like a better idea to have it as a PD so that we maintain more control over how it's actually developed, especially with the conditions that have been attached by Mr. Morrow, where all of basically every step of the way it has to come here. And if this does go forward with that rezoning, I would hope that everyone that has shown up here and the neighbors that aren't able to be present today would be part of every step of that going forward, whether it pertains to the density as far as the number of units that go on that property, whether it pertains to traffic counts and how you mitigate that, maybe staggering the construction so that it doesn't happen prior to that 8-year estimation for GDOT to come in and widen Old River Road. For me, hearing both sides, I feel like, and I've used this phrase a lot lately because I'm going to be faced with a similar adjacent property developer soon, but better the devil you know, better the devil you can speak to, because you don't know what could go there if we're not having the kind of oversight and control that's included in the conditions here.
Thank you.
I'd like to respond to that. Wilson. So I don't disagree that a planned development is much better than just willy-nilly ad hoc, like what was in the staff report. But I don't agree that planned development is better than what the comprehensive plan says is the goals for this area and the city of Savannah's flood mitigation plan is. The goals and objective of the comp plan for this area is to protect the public health, safety, and welfare of the residents from flood hazards. You might protect, he might be able to build up to protect his renters, but this area is not being protected from flooding from other developments, city developments in this area. Another goal of the comprehensive plan is to proactively manage stormwater runoff. Again, that's not being done. The city of Savannah's mitigation flood plan says implement growth management policies to guide new development away from current or future high risk areas. I mean, the city's plan specifically says if it's a high risk or in a floodplain, save it as just that, a floodplain, and let it, the floodplain do what the floodplain do. So I don't disagree with staff saying that a PD is better than willy-nilly. Of course that is, but it's not better than what the comprehensive plan says it needs to be, and this, even the city's own mitigation plan needs to be. Any thoughts?
Thank you. Mr. Stevens?
I was going to echo Mr. Coles and then add to the idea that if we do determine this to be a PD, it does kind of start give some guide rails and or some parameters for how the city and or county or whomever, whatever governing body is responsible for the infrastructure and such, to have some type of a framework to work from, understanding what is potentially to come. But a very valid point was raised in understanding what the flood mitigation efforts are in the city's comprehensive plan, which makes me hesitate to completely align with the idea of the PD. In theory, the PD makes sense. But in the interim, in trying to get to how do we address our floodplain issues based off of what we've already established in the comp plan, and I know I'm one of the loudest ones that fusses about us putting together plans and spending extensive effort in establishing paths forward, and we immediately depart away from it as soon as the opportunity presents itself. So it puts me in a position where I am a little bit more inclined to align with Ms. Wilson and say we should be adhering to our comp plan until we have the opportunity to readjust. But I do understand the function of the PD in the event that this is the direction we feel like allowing for development in that area.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I do want to make one comment about the flood mitigation plan, and those are technical aspects about how we deal with stormwater and how we deal with our wetlands in a wetland and coastal community, and how we continue to adopt better standards for building and living in a coastal and a wetland area. It doesn't mean that we, you know, stop building or don't build in places that are adjacent to wetland. It means that we need to build better and have more stringent regulations about how we build, how we think about stormwater runoff. So I don't want to mischaracterize the stormwater mitigation plan as saying don't build, you know, next to water. We would never build anything in this region if that were what the stormwater mitigation plan said. I think it's all very good comment, and we have to continue to think about stormwater mitigation, think about coastal flooding, think about how we're building, and that means protecting wetlands, and that means protecting and conserving spaces as well. But it doesn't mean, you know, that we don't build as well. I think all of the, you know, what I heard today too was that everybody kind of understands that growth is here and it's happening, and that they support growth. So I think we've got to be very clear about what the technical aspects of the flood mitigation plan means, and what the technical aspects of plan reviews deal with, and stormwater regulations that are different entirely than, is this more appropriate as residential agricultural, or is this more appropriate as a plan development? Because you could still build by right residential agriculture, and you may not have to build as high as you would under a plan development, and the next flood comes and you're looking at, you know, 20 single family homes that might be underwater versus up, you know, at a plan development, you'd have maybe more family homes, but they were built high enough that, and the water was mitigated in a way that that wouldn't happen. So I think there's a, let's not misunderstand the cost of not doing something and what the technical aspects of a storm mitigation plan is versus the technical aspects of a zoning appropriateness.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Bowles, did you?
I'm so glad the city manager gave that comment, because that what was on my mind is the annexation of this site from the county into the city, and how do we manage the existing conditions, flooding conditions, and, you know, are we taking on the burden of emergency management in those areas, and, you know, what's the coordination between city and county for addressing the existing conditions, and then what is to come?
Other comments?
Another question. Mr. Morrow, if this goes forward as a PD, we're not setting density at this stage, correct?
Now would probably be the time, if you're having feelings about a specific number, to express those.
But it's kind of difficult to come up with a specific number when we've just been given a number and have no other options.
I'm sure the applicant had a rationale for their number. Again, if someone on this board, many of you have expertise in this field, if you are also having ideas, maybe what the comp plan character area says, something along those lines, that may be an appropriate response to say, let's aim for something that's a little bit more consistent with the policy documents.
All right, go ahead, Ms.
Mayor, I heard the petitioner speak about a continuation. Is that something that we would like for them to go back and address? What's a number that's more
not a bad idea?
He did clearly indicate that if we did opt to continue, what did we want to get from them?
That's right.
So we would need to specify if it's the density issue that's really choking us out outside of the infrastructure and water, stormwater mitigation issues, then I would say we definitely should give that to the petitioner to chew on and bring back at whatever date certain.
One of the main concerns that I have is, as was said, since 2018, we've been hearing from these residents. Since 2018, they have been impacted by development. And I don't know of any positive movements that we have made to alleviate the impacts that they have felt from development. Not that we're going to make this go back to the pastoral setting that they are familiar with, but the roads and the drainage are two significant problems that have not been addressed by the county or the city. And that concerns me a great deal. And I don't know how to tell Mr. Developer, let's continue this while we wait for the city and the county to come up with a plan that will fix the problems that exist out there now.
I mean, I don't think that would, though that would be the ideal scenario, I don't think that is.
So we go ahead and move forward with more development.
If you will, to put that on the petitioner, because
understood.
The petitioner cannot make any municipality move at any rate, or any government agency move at any rate that anybody would like them to.
Well, why not?
All we can do is hope that if we set these things forward and bring it to the front, bring it to the forefront, that there are things that are in progress and are aspirations of certain communities to be developed. All we can do is hope that it prompts the individuals that recognize there's growth going on in your areas to prioritize it accordingly and pray that
since
they align and take action.
So if this is continued, would we be able to have a commitment from the city and from the county that we can discuss mitigation efforts and get a timeline on that and get some real traction for this community that's been lacking for, I don't know, I can't do the math. What, how many years since 18? Seven?
Ms. Wilson, I've been here since late 2021. I have met with you every time you've asked. I'm happy to make that commitment again today. And let me take this opportunity to give my spiel about the three pipes in the ground. In the city of Savannah, we have three pipes in the ground. We have a water pipe, we have a sewer pipe, and we have a stormwater pipe.
Mm-hmm.
Two of those pipes are paid for. Every time you turn on your faucet and flush your commode, we get to bill you for using those two pipes. The other pipe in the ground is a very, very, very important pipe. And that's our stormwater conveyance pipe because we live in a coastal area. Those pipes are paid for by SPOS projects that come about every 7 years. They're paid for by grants that we work hard to take down from the federal government or the state. They're paid for by contributions from the general fund, which are property taxes, to go to stormwater projects as well. Right now, starting tonight, we're going to be out in the community in every district in the city of Savannah to talk about what a stormwater user program may look like so that we can better effectuate some of the plans that we know we need to have around stormwater conveyance and stormwater protection in our region. So that's a really, just for folks who are wondering, you can visit www.savannahga.gov and kind of find out where you can learn more about that program and some of the ways in which we want to find better ways to effectuate these plans. But that's kind of my three pipe in the ground spiel about stormwater, because it's hugely, hugely important for our community, and we really need to make sure that that's a priority for the things that we're doing. But I'm happy to meet with you.
Well,
Amanda.
Said. Maintenance is the other issue with the stormwater pipes. Putting them in the ground is one thing, and
very
maintaining
true.
Them is something entirely different. And clearly, with the sewer, you have money to maintain, and with the stormwater, you don't. But adding more development to main pipes that aren't being maintained is difficult for me to swallow. All right. Any more discussion? Do I have a motion?
Continue.
You want to offer conditions? You have suggestions for conditions?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that a detailed wetland delineation, I think that, let's see, that on what staff recommended.
Wetland plan, the petitioner shall provide an updated general master plan. And I don't think that we can ask that if it's just zoning, it, reflecting that required wetland plan. So the site shall not be cleared or graded until all wetland related permitting is finalized. On-site wastewater treatment shall not be permitted. All specific development plans for tracts within the PD shall be forwarded by MPC staff to the planning commission. So the wetland plan would probably be the only thing that they would provide in the front end.
If I may, I know the other concern that was raised was addressing the density. So perhaps if you have a number or some type of a request regarding the density, that would probably be what I would suggest to your motion.
No second. Well, it was a motion to continue.
I don't think it would, but it has to be date certain and the petitioner's request what terms.
What's the motion on the table? On the
floor? Continue until a date certain.
When and for what? Yeah.
Okay, we're going to offer a date.
It's not my motion.
I would imagine that the next meeting would not allow the petitioner enough time to do anything. So
what are we asking for the petitioner?
Right.
Okay. So I think.
Hold on. One at a time. Let's pull this back.
I'm gonna try to formulate it.
Okay. Go ahead, Ms. Bowles. You got the floor.
I'm gonna make a motion that we continue this petition. Until I'd have to ask the petitioner what makes sense regarding if you would address density as well as the wetlands plan.
Just for a point of clarification, we've got a wetland plan. A true wetland delineation could be months, years away, but we've got something that will be within 5% of the actual, and Thompson Hutton will be more generous, more conservative in showing it. I just want to make sure we are talking about a wetland delineation plan and then a density study. And we don't even know what that involves. It could be having buildings that are taller and take up less surface area. It could be looking at the density numbers on our PD. We can go back and look at that, but I would urge this board to also look very carefully at our PD plan, because there's a lot of thought that went into that. And if there are comments, if it's okay with the chairperson, send comments to us directly. Let's not wait till the next meeting. We'd love to hear any comments you have, or filter them through Edward. I would say let's continue this until the next MPC meeting. If we find that we just don't have enough information, we'll continue it again, and we'll let everybody behind us know that we've continued it. But I'd rather go 3 weeks than 6 weeks.
22nd.
April 22nd.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
All right. Ready for a motion?
Okay. So I would like to make a motion to continue this.
Just point of order, the motion had been begun
earlier.
Okay, and then just add on to it if you don't mind. Okay. I make a motion to continue this petition until the April 22nd meeting, in which the petitioner will address the wetlands delineation plan as well as the density.
I would like the petitioner to do a dance.
Yes, it needs to be in the form of an amendment.
Amend the motion.
Second.
Or anyone. You can offer a friendly amendment without doing a second.
Yeah. Okay, I would like to offer a friendly amendment. Okay. I would like for the petitioner to do a downstream analysis, capturing both sides of the development on the west of Old River Road, and since it breaches the road on the east side of Old River Road, and model that at various stages of build out. It might not be doable until.
Yeah. Can we ask opinion? Yeah.
Mr. Collins on that.
Yeah, Ms. Wilson, Mr. Plunk, we can't complete that. We will be required to do that prior to turning any dirt there. We could produce an exhibit showing what the impact was during the, August 10th staging of the Geechee River and what the impact was at Joyner's and at Mr. Stokes' property. I think we could show that. It would be an approximation.
But you have the West Chatham drainage study.
We do, but I'm not familiar with that. Someone else in our office, our water resources department, did that study.
Okay. Is it possible to show the volumetric issues regarding the soils and what the cut and fill would be?
We can't have that prior to that. What we can show is, again, the impact from the recent event and where it breached the road and crossed into the other drainage basin. We can show that. We could pull that exhibit together. It would just be, I mean, we have all the LIDAR topography, so we could show that.
To do a downstream analysis, it would take a couple of months.
It's very technical to do a downstream analysis. Of course, you've got the FEMA flood study, and those maps were updated and published in October of 2018. And we have the stage elevations of the river based on the NOAA data going back, you know, close to 100 years. So, I mean, I think we can look at some of those parameters and what the impact is within the basin. But I'd hesitate to call it an analysis. It would be more of an exhibit based upon what we know the river staged up to.
Can I make a friendly amendment to move it till July?
Yeah.
Mr. Morrow, can I get a suggestion from you?
You don't have to accept her amendment either.
Something that I think that would be particularly helpful is some form of modeling to sort of understand at certain anticipated levels of intensity, whether it's 400 units, 800 units, 1200, 1600, some sort of modeling to show the potential impact of what different intensities of development, different levels of impervious versus pervious surface is going to do, not only for this site and those immediately surrounding, but for the properties that are downstream. So modeling in some sense would be the expectation.
The only concern I have there, Mr. Morrow, is that we include the issues of maintenance that we know are in the basin, the clogged pipes and the areas that have created dams along the flow path.
No, for sure. So again, I'll refer back to these rating systems. They have a number of features that I think we have to go through a couple of projects to kind of understand how academia is leading us to a better understanding of how it is that we should build, what it is that we should expect when we're going through these processes, and what the expectations should be, who are the different actors that need to be at the table. Some of these things should not be solely on government. Some of them should come from, you know, the neighborhood level. So, again, there's sort of a planning and infrastructure there's a set of actors that should be coming together to cover all of the various things that need to be addressed if you're going to face some sort of event like a flood, whether it's your HOA, whether it's, you know, your municipality has a role. Anyway, there are a number of actors. I'll just say that the idea behind the recommendations was to ensure that we create the flexibility to bring in site by site some guidance that could take us toward a higher level of understanding of how it is that these developments are going to impact not only this site, but the properties around it. So,
Ms. Bowles, I'm going to let you revise your motion, if you would. Oh, Mr. King.
No,
my motion was. I'm going to revise the motion to include some level of modeling. Is that doable by the next meeting?
I wouldn't call it modeling, which it entails a higher level of analysis, but we can look at the flood stages and what the impact was in the Ogeechee watershed and where it breached going into the West Chatham Little Ogeechee watershed.
Educated speculation.
Opinion.
And so
engineer's opinion.
I'm making a motion to continue this petition until the April 22nd meeting, at which time the petitioner will present an educated guess, some
engineer opinion.
Opinion about the impacts of the project, as well as the wetland delineation, some additional information about that, and the density, addressing the density.
Cole, second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Nochica?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
Unanimous, I say yes as well. Good. All right, that was for the future land use map amendment. Now let's do a motion for the zoning.
Yeah. Or you can just do it straight.
Yeah, that sounds good.
I make a motion to continue the petition for zoning to the April 22nd meeting.
Cole, second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Nochica?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Thank you. All right. Our next agenda item is 3400 Highland Boulevard. I've lost my agenda. Highgate, sorry.
Oh, the last one.
Master Plan Amendment 3400 Highgate Boulevard, 2602 Fort Argyle Road. How do we have two addresses there? Thank you, guys.
It used to be.
Okay. Let me get this back up. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, but it affects them too, I think.
Oh, there we go. Okay, awesome.
The residents did. Some of the residents, anyway. I guess not too many.
All right. So actually, this is the way that we hope that most master plan amendments would be. This is very straightforward. Unlike most everything else that we see, we literally have people who are just adding more lots of different already approved varieties. That's essentially what's happening here. This is, I think it's the Pines at New Hampstead, and Thomas and Hutton is requesting to amend the approved final master plan in order to gain 36 additional dwelling units. Some of them are single family attached. Some of them are single family detached. All of them are of varieties that are already essentially accounted for within the approved PUD text. It says that the approval included the following maximum density per gross acre. So for the single family detached, this particular subdivision permits 4 units per acre, and at multifamily, 12 units per acre. So you can see from the original plan, we are looking at tract R3. There was an amendment to the New Hampstead master plan in 2019 that split tract R3 into R3 and R3A. And so these are the two pods that we are looking at today. This is the current approved master plan. It's going to look remarkably similar to what's being requested. Here's the new one. You can't tell the difference. But there's 36 additional units that are here. Some of them are up here in the attached single family. And there was a reconfiguration in this general area. We are going to see a much more complicated New Hampstead master plan amendment. So this one is kind of a breath of fresh air. Access, there's no changes. There's no changes to parking standards. The site is already served by City of Savannah Water and Sewer. In terms of drainage and open space, again, this is already in accordance with what's already been approved. This is showing you what has been platted. So this is in development. And so we're seeing a reconfiguration of the undeveloped land within this particular parcel. So this particular master plan approval does not necessarily requires MPC approval, master plan prior. Okay, yes. It is requiring MPC approval. And staff does recommend approval of this particular master plan amendment within tracks R3 and R3A.
Is the applicant here?
Yes.
I'm Thomas Beam with Thomas and Hutton.
Hi.
Hi.
Would you like to share anything with us? You're in agreement with the staff recommendation?
Yes, ma'am.
No comments?
No comments.
All right. Thank you. Any questions for the applicant or staff? All right. Any discussion?
There's no public comment.
Cole's motion for staff's recommendation.
Plunk second.
All right. I have a motion and a second. Ms. Amick?
Yes.
Ms. Bowles?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Mr. McKegler?
Yes.
Mr. Melder?
Yes.
Ms. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Notrika?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Mr. Wywoody?
Yes.
I too say yes. Motion passes. Yeah, really. I'm so glad. That's why I asked him, are you sure that should be first? Make them agonize.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
I just want you to remind the board that on the last one on the Old River, that if people have comments, to send them directly to Edward and not to the petitioner and not in a group email either. Thank you.
If you have comments regarding Old River Road and or questions, thoughts, anything like that, please send them to Edward and not to Mr. Yellen or Mr. Collins.
And not in a group.
Yes, yeah. We don't want to violate sunshine laws.
Yeah. Cole's motion to adjourn. Are we there? We're there.
All in favor?
Wow. Did you have anything else? You good?